They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Drops back. Looks to the back of the end zone. For Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots. Dagger. An absolute dagger to the Texans, who mismanaged the middle of the field, and they had it there with 2 minutes left. You kick it away to Brady and company. You get it going in a run game, and now you got this guy starting to step up and make plays in a passing game like Philip Dorsett.
What did he say?
It's on to
617-779-0985. Patriots get a win yesterday over the Texans to open the season. Good win. Good win.
Eric Jones breaking my balls this morning.
Well, about what?
What do you mean, a dagger? A little early, second quarter to be calling that a dagger.
Yeah, I thought that was a little out of place when you called that one a dagger.
Considering how the Texans mismanaged the final 2 minutes, and you win the opening coin toss, you defer.
Yeah,
you got the score. You got the double score all lined up for you.
You can't win the game.
And New England
there.
Go right down. Dude, it went to 21-6 like that.
The
like
game's not that. Over there.
He didn't mean it like that, though. I know what he's saying. Maybe use a different word.
Yeah, I would say use a different word.
Okay.
I get the point. Everyone got the point.
Thank you. Mentally going in, you're cooked at halftime. You got 12 minutes to say, what the hell did we just do? We screwed it up again in Gillette. That's what we did. We had the ball in midfield, 14-6. Hit that stupid pick. You mismanaged the time. All you got to do is control the clock, try and get a field goal, and you come out. You're receiving. Now we got a ball game. 21-6. That's deflating for a visiting team in the opener. Sorry, you're chasing dogs after that. That's what they did. He screwed that up. Screwed up the whole sequence.
One of the things you just heard, Philip Dorsett, his day. It's a positive.
Yeah.
That's a positive. Does that hold up over 17 weeks or 16 regular season games? I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, it started to develop in Carolina. That's where we started to see it, right? Going into traffic, elevating, diving, securing the catch. The anti-Riley McCarron, right? Plucking the football.
Oh, see, now that's worth a mention, too. Riley McCarron, what happens to him?
We've been all over this. How many... Have we not talked about this since July?
We have.
How many double-clutch kicks have you seen? Like, off the... I could hear the pads. I could hear it hitting the pads when we're up there in that red level, watching practice. And it's the same thing. Same stuff. You got to correct that. Now, you could say... Wait.
Correct it with Riley McCarron? Like you're going to invest in making sure it gets corrected?
See, I heard this too. And Burton's like, well, you got to put him back in there and get his confidence going. You don't have time for that.
Not really.
Jacksonville, they're coming down.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Gunners. You get Pat Chung in there. That's how you fix it.
Last night on Football Night in America, Rodney Harrison, when that play was there, he goes, yeah, that guy might not have a job tomorrow.
Boy, does he call it like he sees it.
Yeah. And that might be the case. But, I mean, if he's not going to be good on the punts, hey, keeping him around for depth offensively? I mean, come on, guy. Help out. Hang on to that thing. I got to give credit to Jim Murray, who last night postgame gave Riley McCarron a nickname that I just think is perfect and it's spectacular.
No, that was brutal. I thought this team cut Cyrus Jones. Now they have Irish Jones in Riley McCarron. I'm assuming he's Irish with that name. But yeah, a brutal play.
That's a good one, Murray.
It's just nonstop bits
Irish
over here,
Jones.
Beagle.
We're going to start calling Riley McCarron Irish Jones. What a name. What a perfect name. Irish Jones. Not Cyrus Jones. He's with the Ravens practice squad. Irish Jones.
He's on a practice squad.
Cyrus Jones is available if you want him back. He's available.
No.
You could go get him just with punts. You could go bring him back.
I mean, he didn't even hit his pads. He hit his face mask.
Oh, so it was such
a face mask.
It was so bad. It was, it'd be one thing if it was he had it and like in the transition of taking it and cradling it, No, it was. I don't even know how that happened.
He didn't fair catch that. He should have fair caught.
Yeah,
that.
He could have easily fair caught that.
He
ball.
He fair caught another ball where there wasn't a guy within 10 yards of him, where he could have picked up another 5 yards.
Yep. John in Norwood has a thought on this on the punts. John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I'm glad you took my call. Long time listener, first time caller. Now that you're on the punch, you're taking kind of the steam out of my call here. I don't understand. I'm a long time football coach, and I'm not saying I'm Bill Belichick, but I don't understand why you even steal the punt late in the game. They did it a few years ago in Denver. They're up by 11 points in the snow. And
yep, Harper.
Chris Harper out there, and he mopped it, and the whole game changed around, including who got home field advantage that season. They're saying the same thing. Up by 2 touchdowns with him. 5 minutes ago in the game, you don't even need to put anybody back there. Just let the ball bounce around. You will get possession of the ball, and then you can run the clock out. Having possession of the ball, to me, at that time, is the most important thing. And to put two rookies back there, Harper back there a few years ago, and McCarron back there yesterday, I just don't get it. I mean,
McCarron's not a rookie. I mean, he was in Houston. That's where they grabbed him from, snagged him from, was on their practice squad. I don't know. I didn't see it with him this year. I didn't. I thought he was a guy that's going to be outside looking in, and we get down to that Giants game, and he's one of the guys that really wasn't active. Did the stride and stretch before the game with the vets. There's other guys there that did that too. Bolden, I mean, they end up getting cut. But it didn't mean he's guaranteed a roster spot. That's one that went past me there.
Jeff is in Randolph today. Hi, Jeff.
What's up, Jeffy?
Hey, how are you guys today?
Hey, pal.
So I have a quick comment about Gronkowski, but there's one thing I wanted to tell you guys. I'm a corporate chauffeur here in Boston, and yesterday I took 4 guys from Houston to that game, and they Bluetoothed onto my radio, the local station. And I don't know which station it is, 1610, 610 in Houston.
610.
But there's a dude that calls in down there called Larry from Stafford that is the best friggin' sports radio caller I've ever heard in my life. I guess he's a legend down there. But the call yesterday, you guys can find that online. Was unbelievable after the game. It was phenomenal. 5 minutes of beauty. But anyway, he destroyed Bill O'Brien. But anyway,
Larry.
You know, he's great. I'm telling you, he's a great caller.
I believe
you.
Go ahead. Yes.
That Gronkowski catch that, you know, wasn't a catch or was a catch, and, you know, Bill O'Brien didn't call a timeout, whatever. You know, the thing about that play, and it wasn't that play only, is that, and it's true, and I know that people say, well, he's got to fight through it, but, man, Gronkowski's getting abused every time he's going to catch a pass. That should have been freaking interference, for crying out loud, that pass. The ball should have been there whether or not he caught it or not, because he was getting two guys on his back practically trying to catch that ball. So, I mean, in a way, I think almost like the people that were the officials up at the booth looked at it and said, this could go either way, but you know what? They should have called interference here, so the ball should be here anyway, so we're just going to leave it.
That's not what they did, though. They buzzed the field. They just buzzed the field too late. Yeah. Tony Corrente said after the game, they did. They buzzed us, but the play had already started. Brady had already snapped the ball. It was too late. So New York wanted to look at it. They just are too slow to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he gets held every play. It's pretty much just what it is. I mean, there's other ones where he goes free releases right down the gut, too.
Russ was out getting more dip for the chips.
Russ, yeah. Hey, what do you want? You want a Faygo? You want a diet? What do you want?
Al, what do we need?
What do you need? You want
Wait,
a water?
Are you watching that game? That's fine. Yeah. I'll be right back.
You want me to toast the bread?
He was down there putting his quarters.
I'm on break.
He was putting his quarters in the machine to get a Fresca. Like, you know.
They fixed that toaster oven down there.
Well, Al needs a Diet Coke. Got to make sure I get that for him.
He needs his Pepto-Bismol, too, because he gets all angry. Like, get a little sensitive.
Al, I got an email.
That's what's going on.
They fixed what teams are saying about the refs.
Al, an email just popped up. The coffee machine is fixed. I'll be right back.
Is it raining out, Al? Because you better go close your windows.
Yeah. The ice cream man is outside. You want to go get an ice cream?
Oh, Mr. Frosty is here. I'll be right back.
Right back.
Yes. Yep.
Hey, keep an eye on that game, or actually all 8 of them, if you could. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's what goes on in New York. They're just too slow. 617-779-0985. Reaction of the game. And also, Josh McDaniels, some details on his contract for me and Rappaport yesterday. We'll get to that next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Rob, there were reports before the game today that you made it clear to the Patriots in the offseason you wanted to play with the Patriots. Can you comment on that? And also, is that sort of the same as your thoughts after the Super Bowl when you said you weren't certain about your future? How does all that come together?
I was wondering why they asked me that on the field right after the game. I was like, "What? Where is this coming from again?" No, I'm glad to be here, glad to be part of this team, glad to be part of this organization. And all that talk, all that stuff, I mean, I would love to put it in the past, whatever it is, whatever reports keep coming out, because I'm here to stay, and I'm here to keep playing ball with the Patriots and just enjoying my time here.
Thank you.
It's Rob Gronkowski responding to reports from Ian Rappaport. Rappaport had a big morning, dropping stories left and right on pregame on NFL Network. Now, I know Jim Lout has he says something that pissed him off in the past about Rappaport. What was that again?
It was a dick. He took an interview away from us. So I got this one. Jim was down in the Super Bowl, one of our Super Bowl.
Right. Okay.
Media day on the field.
And Jim, you know, putting in the time, you know, getting the guests, getting them over. Who was it? Who was the guest you got?
It was Ridley back in 2011.
Okay. Thank you, Ridley.
And Ridley. I waited. I said, yeah, I'll come on with you right after I do this. He sat down with Sirius, and then he was wrapping up, and Rap Sheet just got me to put his hand in my chest. I got this.
Stepped on Jim's toes. Nobody puts Jim in a corner.
And then he talked to him for like 10 minutes, and I just stood there over his shoulder watching him the whole time.
All right, so Rap Sheet might be a jerk, but let's get to his reports. He had good reports.
They say, Jim, squeaky wheel gets a fixin'.
One of the Patriots issues that got cleared up this offseason is the future of Rob Gronkowski. He is going to remain a member of the Patriots through the balance of his career. Here's why. Earlier this offseason, the Patriots had intense trade talks centered around Gronkowski. At one point, it looked like a deal sending him away from the Patriots might get done. At that point, Gronk stepped in, resisted, refused to be traded, did not want to go anywhere. He was adamant that he would either retire or remain with the Patriots. At that point, trade talks were off. He eventually had a reworked contract with New England. He doesn't want anyone throwing him touchdown passes besides Tom Brady. Okay. Another big issue for the Patriots this offseason with Josh McDaniels, of course, he bowed out of being the Colts head coach. And here is my understanding of one reason why. The Patriots gave him a 5-year contract, which is huge. Basically, never happens for a coordinator. And from what I am told, he's being paid like a first-time head coach, the highest paid coordinator in football by far. At one point, his contract eclipses $4 million per year, Rich.
A lot of coin for Josh McDaniels. You typically don't get paid like that as a coordinator or an assistant in New England.
No.
The money goes to the top guy.
There's one other guy that had, like, eclipsed all that, and it was Garrett. Remember when Jerry Jones said, I'm going to hang on to this guy because he's going to be my next head coach?
Oh, hanging.
He overpaid.
He was hanging on to him for what reason?
To be my puppet.
To be what, though?
The clapper.
His next head coach.
Next head coach.
Oh. So paying him like a first-year head coach to get him to stay.
That'll get you off.
At one point. At one point in the contract, it gets over $4 million per year.
Okay, right. So what's like the going rate of a first year?
So is it a couple years like at one rate, and then they know something's happening, and then it's another rate after that? That's what I was wondering.
I mean, that would make sense, right? It would be an escalator in a contract that would kick in that if he was elevated to that point.
But that means it's happening before 2022 then, because that's what he signed through.
Yeah, I mean, you think Bill's going to coach 5 more years?
I don't know. Why not?
Is Brady going to play 5 more years?
I don't think so.
What's your best shot at getting Brady to play 5 more years?
Having
making
Bill
sure
Belichick or Josh McDaniels is there.
I was going to say
preferably both.
No, I was going to say making sure that Josh McDaniels is there at any point in the next 5 years. What's your insurance if Bill walks away? Josh McDaniels is here for the next 5 years. Go back to the Chris Mortensen report last year. He could see Belichick walking away in a year or two. If that were to happen, Josh McDaniels is here now.
Last week, you mean Mortensen report.
What did I say?
Last year.
Oh, sorry. Last week.
My question is, do they know when the contract spikes? Because if they know when the contract spikes, that means they know when he's leaving.
Oh, I get what you're saying. So the year that it goes up is the year that they think Bill is gone. So if
I would assume so.
So if it's year 4... they know that it's
unless
three more years for Bill.
Unless
right?
you give
if
him,
it's year three, it's two more years for Bill.
But unless you give him a 5-year deal where you say, we're giving you $2 million, we're giving you $3 million, we're giving you $4 million, we're giving you $5 million. You know what I mean?
Well, if they know when Bill is leaving.
If that was the case, then it would be reported as it gets up to $5 million per year. They wouldn't report the lower number. They'd report the highest number of all, right?
But if they know when Bill is leaving, why not just sign him for a contract up until that point?
Yeah, like five's a long extension.
Yeah. What if Bill's going to leave in 3 years, you sign him to a 3-year deal and then you give him a new deal as a head coach at that point.
Yeah. Say Mike Tomlin gets popped this year. Hey, we got an opening in Pittsburgh.
This is what I think. I think if he becomes the head coach, the contract gets torn up and they're going to give him a new deal.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be paid on the current contract.
The spike year doesn't indicate to me that that's the year he becomes head coach.
Yeah. I would buy into that. Because the way I heard it there is that he's being paid like a first-year head coach. And at one point, it also is now above $4 million because there are coaches that are making below $4 million.
How about this,
in the league?
Jim? How about this, Jim? To Jim's point, Bill's told us he's going to leave in 3 years, right? We know you want to go be a head coach somewhere. You're going to be the next head coach here. So here's what we'll do. We're going to assume he's going to leave in 3 years. We're going to give you a 5-year deal. If he doesn't leave, you're still going to make first-year head coach money in that year that you were supposed to take over.
Well, that would sort of go to Jim's point, though. That would mean that... If in the event...
It just feels like they know the timeline. That's all.
You talked yourself into Jim's point.
I mean...
Which makes sense. So both things make sense.
You're going to coach
that the deal
Colts.
Would be ripped up, but in the event it's not, the spike year represents when they thought he would already have a new deal.
Right. I mean, you're going to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Everybody knows it. We're there Super Bowl week. He comes over, talks to us like he does each and every year. It's sort of the wink, wink, goodbye interview that we did with him. For me to get off that plane and stop packing boxes, tell me what I'm coming back for. Because I'm going to be a head coach and make head coach money. So obviously they had to sell him on something. And it's kind of obvious what they had to sell him on, right?
Money.
Money and the potential to be the next head coach. Here,
money.
I would think.
Money.
I don't know that, but I would think.
Money, money,
makes
money.
Sense.
I just don't feel like it took a lot of convincing.
It's almost like he was waiting for them to say that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go there.
But then they did.
I play for that nut. Hey, what's up, Quint? You fired up, man?
Plus, it's not...
Hey, Josh, you ready? You excited for the opener?
Like, he's probably thinking...
Yeah.
It'd be ideal if Bill would walk away in a couple of years and I could take this team over. That would be a nice landing spot. And if I could get some more money and not have to move and not have to pick up
kids
my whole
like
life...
It here.
My kids
family
life
likes
and,
it here.
Yeah, gee, I would love... I'd prefer to stay, but it doesn't really look like it's going to go my way here. And then all of a sudden, you say, you know what? I got to leave. And they said, wait, no, don't leave. Let's have a conversation. You need more money? You need some sort of assurances that you're going to be next in line? All right, how about that? Okay, I'm in. Like, it doesn't feel like... They did have to give him something significant, which they did, but it doesn't feel like they had to then... You know, beg him to stay.
No, and plus, it's not like you're trying to convince a guy of not leaving who's never been a head coach before. It's like, maybe they didn't have to even say it, but you know what, Josh? You did the head coaching thing. It's not all it's cracked up to be, is it? Things can go wrong for you in that position. So, yeah, of course you want to be a head coach. Any OC, but for the most part, they want to go be a head coach. But you did do it, and... It's a lot more comes with that job. You get a lot more credit for the wins, but when it goes bad, you know what happens. Come back here. You know how it's going to be here. It's going to be great.
Watching that offense yesterday, though, it's great that he's back.
Oh, great that he's back. Can you imagine what this would be without him right now?
I sort of get in flow with them because, you know, I've been part of the offense. I understand the calls. I could sort of anticipate, you know, personnel groupings, and you sort of get in that trend on what first, second, and third is. I had no clue what they were doing yesterday. Like your head's on a swivel watching.
If I'm the same doing, thing when they ran the ball three
fast.
Times to start the game.
Well, that was the worst sequence of the day.
You got to say though, the guy in waiting with Chad O'Shea is pretty good. Yeah. Like I would have confidence in him taking over that job, which hopefully is soon. Well, not hopefully. I'm saying if it's for Josh McDaniels becoming head coach, that would leave a vacancy down the road. And this is my hope. I'm hoping Chad O'Shea is still here when that happens.
Right.
That's my hopefully. Whenever that transition happens, I hope Chad O'Shea is still here to be the offensive coordinator.
Doesn't feel like it, though. If you're talking 3 years out.
What if it's only, what if it's true? What if it's a year or two?
Right.
You can't control when Bill leaves. It's going to be a setback when Bill does leave. You can only hope for you to have, you know, the best possible backup plan. Whatever it is, you're taking a step back. Even if you feel like you got decent guys working for him that are going to stay, it's still a step back. The whole system, the whole operation sort of goes into flux if that happens. 617-779-0985. Reaction to the game from yesterday, Patriots win. And also, coming up, the Coors Light player to reward. Zoe will give us the answer on that after this.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Here we are talking about the coaches. Here's one of the coaches talking about one of his other hey, that sounded like a golf shot in the background.
What are we watching?
Almost as though the BMW Championship were being, the fourth round was being contested here on a Monday. That's weird. Can we get an engineer in here to look at my computer? Here's Coach Belichick talking about Josh McDaniels and the two-minute drive. Coach?
Well, it's a great drive to, you know, after we'd had several series offensively that weren't all that productive, to get the ball in that situation and be able to take it down there and whatever it was, minute and 40 or something like that. It was, you know, Josh, the offensive staff, the players did a great job.
Patriots now 1-0 on the season, 27-20, the final over the Texans yesterday at Gillette Stadium. Next up, the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Red Sox got the 6-5 win last night thanks to a ninth-inning rally that was capped with a Mitch Moreland RBI base hit. Tomorrow night, homestand continues. It's the first of three against the Blue Jays. David Krejci scratched from the upcoming China trip for the Bruins, reportedly due to visa issues. Headlines are brought to you by Ace Ticket. They had the best deals on seats with the outstanding customer service you deserve. Visit aceticket.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's that time to see who we should reward for their performance in yesterday's game. Brought to you by Coors Light. Be sure to download the Coors Light Rewards app and start earning rewards all football season long, including a video chat with Zoe. Zoe, based on what you saw, who should we reward? Or should you reward?
I'm going to do based on the front and the type.
I'm not rewarding anybody. Hardy, are you rewarding anybody?
I'll take care of it.
This is Zoe's deal. Needs to reward somebody.
I got
to
reward somebody. And based on the front, and we talked about Clowney and how they moved him around, Watt and Merciless. We already mentioned the guy already today in the show. I'm going with Trent Brown. Trent Brown and the questions that were there, is there some conditioning? Maybe a little bit, but because of his size and how he frustrated Clowney, and to watch Clowney get up in between series and just pound the ground because he couldn't get a sniff on Tom Brady. I'm going to go with Trent Brown. And even in a run game, guy was good. Guy was good all day long. And you give me another week of that next week against Jacksonville's front. We are cooking on the left side, boys. We got something working here. It's good to have Cannon back. I just think the tackles played well in this game. So take Waddle, rotate them in a little bit. So a big concern 2 weeks ago is still, you know, what's the health of our tackles here? How are we looking here? You know, looking pretty good.
Sounds of Sunday coming up in 10 minutes.
Ooh,
10 minutes, Albert in Rhode Island.
Hey!
Come on, Albert, give me your daily dose of Patriots 8.
Hello?
Yeah, Albert, go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, boys? It's not Patriot hate. I have excellent respect for the organization and what they do, but you know, and just,
as we do yours.
They really deserve it. Did you see that? You didn't see the debacle yesterday, but
did not see it. But I mean,
actually, your boy Soldier looked horrible.
I didn't see it. What the hell happened?
Yeah, what happened with him?
He was getting. I mean, the other side's no better with Derek Flowers. He might be one of the worst players in the NFL. But, Nate Soldier is like one of the most high-BP people in the world now. So it's just a shame that we had to overpay for a decent player like that. And he just got ravaged yesterday. They really couldn't block much. But it was an improvement. They lost by five, but it was an improvement from last season. They actually looked functional. But to the Patriots. You know, it's just, it's amazing. You know, I watch them pretty much every week, and you see how other teams, their coaches, go into a shell. And let me tell you, as you guys, so you know,
they crap themselves.
When your coach goes into a shell, the players sense it. They sense the intimidation factor. Like Bill O'Brien yesterday, like everyone knows you do not want the Patriots touching the ball if they don't have to, going into the half, the 1 or 2 minute drill. So they have the ball down 14-6. What do they do?
What do you defer then for? I mean, that's the point. That's like they totally mismanaged the final 4 minutes of that half.
Of course they
where
did.
It's perfectly
yeah,
lined up.
But again, it's not just Bill O'Brien. That's the mystique of the Patriots. And point is, it's Belichick. Look at what Pete Carroll did in the Super Bowl. He threw a slant with the quarterback who's 5'7", who's a mobile quarterback. He stood in the pocket and threw a slant into traffic because he felt like he needed to overcompensate because he was staring across the sideline. And what did he see? It wasn't Brady he was looking at. It wasn't Gronk. It's Belichick. It's always been about Belichick. It always will be about Belichick. Coaches go into a shell. They feel like they need to coach an A++ game. There's no such thing as an A++ game, and these coaches abandon what they do. Look at Doug Marone last year in the NFC Championship game. Blake Bortles is playing the game of his life. The game of his life. Your defense was like water. What does he do with a minute and a half? Kneels, takes a step back. What does that say about your team? What do you think your guys are thinking? We're intimidated, so we want to do just enough to get out alive. No, you attack. You play to win. That's why Coughlin and the Giants used to beat you. There was no fear. There was no intimidation. There was no mystique. Of course Coughlin knew Belichick was one of the greats, no doubt about it. But guess what? You play to win. It just aggravates me. It's just, again, the stupidity that exists in New England because you're not football people. You're baseball people who now like football. It's your coach.
Okay, thank you. Who disagrees with his point? Who's he arguing with there?
I don't know. He's just angry that the league is what the league is from a coaching standpoint.
What he's saying is when other coaches come here and lose their minds, it's because they're across the field from Belichick.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, we do this too. I mean, we you know, we'll get rolling 10 games, 12 games in a year. We'll do like our coaching survey. Like,
yep.
Who are the top five coaches? It's
agreed.
Hard
I agree
to get
with
the five. Felger and Maz do it. And you almost have to elevate a guy like Mike Tomlin into the top four because there's at least some stability there and he's been there. You're not going to go roll out there with some new pseudo coordinator.
And so to follow that up, you've got a guy on the other side who sort of gets inside of his own head because he's in New England. He's coaching against Belichick, and then it kind of trickles down to the players because the players sense it.
The quarterback takes on the personality of the head coach, too.
Yep, true. All true.
Cold calculating, that's what Belichick is, and Brady's like that, too.
Now, you can call New England a bunch of idiots, and people don't know it. Who's going to argue that point with you?
Hey, they're both on the same page, and you saw this, too.
Who's going to say, no, it's not the coach, it's just great players.
Here's another thing that I saw yesterday.
Nobody.
And I didn't really refer to it because they're sort of in hurry-up mode, where they were trying to go with the sped-up offense. So you're Deshaun Watson, and you've been in the league now. You're a candidate for MVP last year at one point, right? And we've talked about this with Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan does this, too, and it frustrates the hell out of me. When you're in hurry up, here's what they're doing. They're turning and they're looking to the sideline. What's the call? Take control. Call something you'd like to hit. Call something to get you in a rhythm. Call quick screen. Call slant. What do you like to throw? You like to throw curls or throw in cuts? What do you hate? Fades? You hate slants? Don't call them. You're going to call something that you like. That's part of the process of going back to the day when, you know, we're down to the Minnesota Vikings. I'm like, let the kid Bledsoe call his own freaking play, guys. He's sitting there and he's looking at you and you're trying to call something. You're forcing something here. And it becomes a point with the player where you gotta let the player go a little. Matt Ryan is still doing this. There's something not right with him. You know, I mean, Eli struggles yesterday. I know it's a tough defense, but it's just teams beat their heads against the wall.
Sounds of Sunday coming up next here on Zolak and Bertram.
Zolak and Bertram.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, football, my old friend. I'm sitting watching you again. The games on Sunday are my favorite thing. But when the guys who are announcing say something stupid, we will make fun of them Monday. So we play all the sounds of Sunday.
Hey. Break it down. Got to get in that pocket, right, Hardy? Right in the pocket.
Here it comes.
It's grooving. It's grooving. Now you're cooking.
Oh, right in the pocket.
Good.
Right there. Right in the
pocket.
It's good
to be back. Football Monday.
Sounds of Sunday, gentlemen. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We begin with...
the Cardinals play yesterday? Yeah. I hope
I don't know. I don't know how you do this out of the gate to us, Jim. I really don't. I don't know if this is wise.
Cincinnati?
No. The Colts quarterback Andrew Luck returned to the field for the first time in almost 2 years. Here he is, post-game.
Certain things felt normal. Same routine, you know, with breakfast and getting to the stadium. What? And it was sort of cool to get to go on autopilot there and not have to think about it. I was like, okay, I remember how to.
Hold on. So, he's talking breakfast. About breakfast and he took one of those driverless Ubers? Cars?
Where did autopilot? You get driverless out of that?
Autopilot? Who's on autopilot?
No, I think he just meant his game.
Same routine, you know, with breakfast and getting to the stadium. It was sort of cool to get to go on autopilot there and not have to think about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to take a left and then a right on Capitol and, you know, around. so that felt routine. And then some emotions crept up and just sort of hit me sitting at the locker before we were going to go out as a team, you know, for introductions and to play the game. And
man.
I think overwhelmingly, I just felt grateful and appreciative to be here. And that may sound a little cheesy, but I was so excited to get to run on the field, you know, as a Colt.
That man is literally happy to be there. Yesterday, and that was enough.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. Played that way. The team played that way.
Felger and Maz would have taken
really
him instead of Brady, right? And then Maz, they all
hosed me.
Right?
Well, they were favored in that game. I wouldn't
know. No, they were dogs. They had +2.5, right?
Oh, they're plus. I thought you were
late. -2.5?
Yeah, you're.
No, you took the favorite, 2.5.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Who picked the Colts in it?
I did.
Some idiot.
They would have covered until Jack Doyle fumbled and then turned it the other way.
I tried to change his mind. I don't know if I'd like to have some breakfast and then autopilot took a left on Capitol. And then I went down to the peanuts. Got some peanuts. And then I saw the owner. And he's like, hey, Andrew, man, you fired up to be back in a football field?
All right, moving on, Jim.
Wait. There is more on him that I want to get to from yesterday.
Was he the winning quarterback there?
No. We'll get to it later, but his snowboarding thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Bills head coach Sean McDermott asked if he's going to start Nathan Peterman or Josh Allen next week.
How did this answer go?
It's too early to go one way or the other. We'll look at everything and be objective and make sure we put ourselves in a position to win games.
Let's start with Nate Peterman. How would you evaluate his performance today?
Well, you know, overall, I thought we could have been better in a number of positions. And, you know, I've got to look at the tape, to be honest with you, to get a better feel for exactly.
Really?
Making sure we were in the right spots for him as well before I give you a better readout on that.
Save you the time on that tape, Coach. You weren't. Nobody was in the right position.
As opposed to the Ravens that were in the right spot when the balls hit them in the chest, he was throwing.
I'd take a little bit of lighter fluid and just
be nice.
Just douse the tape a little. Just get it wet. Get the tape wet.
He's not going to tell him to burn himself. He's going to burn the tape. Burn the tape.
It's Bill's Mafia. You don't know what they do.
Light a match.
Hey, do we?
Drop the match onto tape.
I have a question.
And then kill the tape with a fire.
And then body slam the table.
I had this dream or nightmare last night. Do we have to go up there for a night game? At one point in the year, don't we go up to Buffalo?
Monday night, October 29th.
Yeah.
Can't we flex that back somehow?
Flex it back to a surreal,
like a Wednesday.
A huge flex. So a 1 p.m. Sunday?
Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
They, I believe, are going to be the worst team in football. I think they're in the running. They're going to be one of the worst teams in football.
Early favorite, sure.
Huge step back from making the playoffs last year.
Browns head coach Hugh Jackson was asked why wide receiver Josh Gordon started. After
this is the line of the day.
After Hugh said he wouldn't be starting.
What happened there, Hugh?
You had made a big deal sort of during previously that Josh wasn't going to start because he hadn't done that.
Personnel group got him out there.
So Todd Haley got him out there.
Come again, coach.
Hold on a second.
Todd Haley's the offensive coordinator. He calls the plays. Do you not, as a head coach, understand your first play? Do you not script the first 12 like any other normal human being with a pulse, with a brain?
Personnel group got him out there. The personnel group got him out there in the first play. I saw it just like you did. Not what I wanted, but we'll get through that too.
Hey, somebody forgot what chair you sit in there, Haas.
I'm only the head coach. I'm not in control.
I had no clue.
I was upset with it, much like you were. What?
Offensively, I had
sometimes those personnel decisions, those personnel groupings can keep a player out of an entire game.
Sure can.
Like a Super Bowl.
Right.
It could, I mean,
Personnel groupings.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's unfortunate.
It happens.
It's just interesting that a head coach had no clue what the offensive philosophy was heading into that football game or what was going to be called, like coming out of the gate. Normally work on that practice.
Let's get to some radio calls, Jeff.
Please.
Here's our first offensive set. This is what we're going to go with.
Here's the call of the Steelers' missed field goal in overtime. Browns radio.
And from 42 to win the game for the Steelers in overtime. Here's the snap. It's a little high. The kick on the way. And it is no good. He missed it. He missed it wide left. And with a minute 44 left to go in the ball game, we ain't done yet. It just seems like this might be our day. I don't know.
I hope to never get
Hardy,
there
do
for
you
that
blame
point.
The guy? Do you blame the guy for getting excited and thinking it might be his day? I don't blame that man one bit.
Can you imagine being a radio
I'm not going to make fun of him.
Traveling, getting on buses, dealing with that, sitting in hotels, logging 10-hour days on Sundays.
No.
Well, let's see what he sounds like on the Browns radio call of the Cleveland missed field goal in overtime.
Gonzalez is ready. Hewlett will snap. Snap is back. Ball down. Kick on the way. It got blocked. The Steelers blocked the kick. It never had a prayer.
Boy, it looked like they were off sides a little bit.
Boy, his eyes are closed. He lined up in the neutral zone on that one. Because
9 seconds to go, and each team has missed a field goal in overtime.
The kicker closed his eyes on that one and hit the guy in the helmet.
The guy didn't even have to elevate. They penetrated so much. The guy just got in. He just put his hand up like
this.
Hand
wasn't up. It was like on a 45-degree angle at the kicker.
You're so close. Yeah. So close to the kicker.
He's putting his hands over that ball like you put your hands over a fire on a cold day. Like
he could block that with his face.
He even drew it back.
The guy even drew it back with it. It's like, this is going to hurt. I just need to hit it enough to block it. I don't want to take the full brunt of that ball. Owie.
Poor Cleveland. Poor Cleveland.
All right, Bengals radio here. This is the 83-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Pretty much seals the game here.
Luck back to throw. His pass caught by Doyle. He loses the ball. Yeah! It's scooped up by Fedulum. He's running it back to the 40.
Come on, Clayton.
Luck chasing him.
Oh,
can't
baby.
Tackle him. Fedulum to the 20. The 10. The 5.
Oh, baby.
Touchdown.
Oh, baby.
Bengals.
How about that?
I really despise that guy. It's not funny anymore.
It's never been funny. When was it ever funny?
It was funny at first because people would say, Zoe steps over.
Cincinnati Zoe.
This guy steps over his play-by-play.
Yes. His pass caught by Doyle. He loses the ball.
Yeah!
It's scooped up by Fedulum. He's running it back to the 40.
Come on, Clayton.
Luck chasing him.
Oh,
can't
baby.
Tackle him. Fedulum to the 20. The 10. The 5.
Oh, baby.
Touchdown.
Oh, baby.
It's like if you put Paulie and Dedham in a booth with Bob.
That is so unprofessional.
It's really
at least I tell you something. What does he do?
I don't know.
I told you one time we ate in Cincinnati and I saw him eat with his hands. He doesn't use utensils.
I wonder if Dan Hoard drinks.
He's like a caveman.
That guy would drive me to drink to have to work with him every
weekend.
You think
Hoard calls the game and presses talkback so he doesn't have to hear him? Seriously. Does somebody on the board control him? Because that would be distracting.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't be able to do your call.
That's like a split call.
All right, final one here. Titans radio. Just noticed there was a weather delay in that Dolphins game yesterday.
Did I notice?
I'd be so
What time
upset.
Did the game end? 8:30? What time was it over?
I'd be losing my mind.
So this is when they came back from the second delay yesterday.
Okay.
Would like for the Titans to come out on top of this.
I need to speak to our Titans radio partners, our affiliate stations right now. A message to you. An alert to the stations. We will have an abbreviated post-game show. Your next scheduled local break is at the end of the game.
I'm sure they're hanging on like bated breath.
You know what? Jim, I understood that. Did you understand that?
He appreciates. Beetle appreciates that.
Is there not email?
How else? Yeah, right. Exactly. Do you not? You should have an email list.
So again, to our board operators up and down the line, an abbreviated post-game show. Your next scheduled local break is at the end of the game.
You'll know because we will sign off with this thing. You will have room for a 10-second station identification. I want you all to look. Bear with me here, folks. Everyone pull out your commercial logs, and I want you to go down, right? You'll see it right below first scheduled break. Right there, you should make a PAM mark, and that'll be the first one.
I just love his deliberate delivery of that.
Doesn't mean anything.
To tell our board operators this very important message.
To you listening doesn't mean anything. To the people who've been with us through this thing, those board operators.
This long national nightmare of two weather delays.
You kids making you. $8
an hour. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging in there and keeping us online on your station so Titans fans can follow this most unusual day.
Hold on a second.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
It just seems like there's a better, way of communicating that information.
How many affiliates do we have right now? Us as a station, like
it's
30.
Over 30, yeah.
I think it's close to 40. I think it was like 39 at last check that we feed to. I'm wondering how many they have in their network.
To you listening, doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Well, no, it kind of does, because you're telling them you're going to have an abbreviated postgame show.
Well, he's talking about...
I mean, New England's got six states, right? We got one team for New England.
Yeah. Some back roads down there in Tennessee.
Though. Must be. I don't know.
I love you.
Okay.
I love you. I appreciate you.
What would Soucy say?
I think Soucy
should make a similar announcement
next week in Jacksonville.
I'd like to
let all of our affiliates know that I love you.
And our fans.
And I appreciate you.
Well, we love the fans.
And we are big fans of you being a part of this network.
This message is not for the fans of the Patriots, but for the man running the board. Or the woman running the board in our affiliate stations.
Oh, Robert.
Is that it?
That's it.
That was good. We've got more from the Patriots broadcast. We'll save that for later in the show.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, review of yesterday's day. 617-779-0985. Let's get back at it with your calls. Open lines right now if you'd like to jump on board. The game, more of your reaction from yesterday. Dez Bryant, a possibility for the Patriots. Reports of Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady getting their guy, Alex Guerrero, in-house at Gillette Stadium. Josh McDaniels' contract situation. All of that on the table. All of it with you next.